Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, give me a second here to pull up my audio clips here for the day. Just threw the headset on. Had to get coffee first. You don't start a radio show without coffee. First coffee, and then everything else will just work itself out. All right, here we go. Let's see. Where can I find it? This is the gift that's going to keep on giving all year long here. All right, here we go. So John Jackson, the Joker from X, I saw him share this yesterday as well. This is just incredible video footage. But I don't know. It almost sounds better hearing it as well. I mean, it's fun watching this video. I watched it yesterday, but then I could hear it on the news in the background. You guys may have just heard this in the Fox News update. I missed the Fox News update. I was in such a hurry to get my cup of coffee. I missed the Fox News update. So if you're getting a double tap on this one, I think you'll be okay with it. But Jesse Waters, in his great segment last night, once again talking about Israel and Iran, he highlighted this video footage where Iranian state TV, the pro-regime media, it's, you know, kind of like in the United States, except for instead of pro-regime media, you just have pro-deep state media that's paid for with taxpayer dollars. But back there, they actually have pro-regime state-run media. And so, but anyway, the Iranian state TV got hit by a missile from Israel while they were live on the air. Here you go.
A state TV outlet in Tehran was bombed during a live broadcast.
آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبار آلوده، استادیوم.
Tel Aviv is claiming full aerial superiority over Iranian airspace. They downed two Iranian fighter jets today after top Iranian military officials were taken out Friday. Israel says they've already destroyed a third of Iran's missile launchers, and nuclear sites are getting pummeled so badly that residents are being warned of radiation spillage. The IDF is warning that Iran will pay the price, and they've scheduled this campaign to last 2 weeks.
Now, hold on. I want to hear this one more time. What was she saying? What was your, any Farsi speakers out there that can interpret what she was? Fuzzy Wuzzy, Faza, Nakashaka, what was that
again?
Yeah, we should make that a hotkey. We should make that a hotkey where just random moments of the morning. God, it's kind of like, you know, that, in fact, that is the official audio soundbite of what these stupid No Kings protests did for the Democrat Party. Whatever the Democrat Party was going to do to try to recover from the big 2024 elections loss. In comes the crazy liberal ladies banging their little bucket drums in Bozeman to just blow up whatever fake phony narrative the Democrats were going to try to come up with for the midterm elections about pretending to be moderate.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few scattered showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures ranging from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies expected with low temperatures in the mid-50s. Then we'll see partly to mostly sunny skies Wednesday as high temperatures rebound to the lower to middle 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
As the Army celebrates its 250th birthday, branch leaders are looking to the future and how to improve moving forward. During a recent Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, Mississippi Republican Senator Roger Wicker said,
"The United States faces too many threats today to leave gaps in capabilities."
Army Secretary Dan Driscoll agreed, outlining the aim in the years to come.
An army that embraces innovation, collaborates effectively with the private sector, and prioritizes warfighting readiness above all else.
Army Chief of Staff General Randy George also agreed.
We understand that we must transform to stay ahead of our adversaries.
Adding that the old ways of doing things no longer work because
technology is changing too rapidly. We've got to be able to buy capabilities rather than specific programs, so that we can always get our warfighters the best available tech and equipment.
All spoke about the need to specifically keep up with China's military buildup. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
A lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so the so-called no kings. I don't want to spend too much time on this nonsense here today because we covered it in full yesterday. But I thought this was kind of funny. There was a story out of Bozeman. Famous celebrity attends no kings protest in Bozeman. Oh, well, there you go. A famous celebrity was attending the protest in Bozeman. So I guess despite all the stupid things that they were protesting about and all the stupid things they were protesting for, a famous celebrity was there. So, I guess we will stop being so judgmental of all of the stupid defund ICE signs and the F MAGA signs that are very clearly in a very big minority here in Montana. But no, we'll just ignore all that. Oh, because some Hollywood celebrity was there. Some of you might be wondering, who is this so-called celebrity? Glenn Close. Do you guys know who Glenn Close is? I know the name, but I forget what movie she was even in. If I saw her passing by on Main Street in Bozeman, I would have no idea. We'd be nice like all Montanans are nice. Probably say, hey, Marnie, how you doing? Hey, whatever. And, you know, and like the out-of-staters typically do, they'd probably be like, why are you waving? Why are you being nice? It's because it's Montana, not California. So why don't you go the hell? Anyway, yeah. Famous celebrity attends No Kings protest. Who freaking cares? Go back to Los Angeles. My goodness. All right, here we go. Speaking of the, I got to share this one, though. I got to share this one. Buck in the Shields Valley sent us an email yesterday. We just had, man, the 9 o'clock hour, we had too many moving parts, too many things happening, too many phone calls coming in. So I didn't get a chance to read Buck's email before we ran out of time on the show. But, Buck in the Shields Valley had this to say: hypocrisy abounds. How rich that the paid protesters at the No Kings and No Billionaire Oligarchs protests are funded by, well, billionaire oligarchs. Yeah, what a great point here. Here these nut jobs are out in the streets protesting the brawligarchs, the bro oligarchs. And yet their protests are funded by a bunch of liberal white guys. Oligarchs. George Soros, Bill Gates, Hans Wiese. Over $125 million. That's what Buck says anyway. I haven't ran the numbers, seen those specific numbers, but just for last weekend alone. And then Buck in the Shields Valley says this: these sad-looking public pension boomers cut their teeth back in the Berkeley days as champions of free speech and get out of Vietnam and Big Brother, leave me alone. Since then, they've given us decades of censorship, endless wars, and Big Brother, Big Sister, cousins, uncles, and aunts. They chant, this is what democracy looks like. democracy looks irrelevant, angry, and flaccid. Ugh. And Buck, then Buck says, they should have worn masks. Some of them were wearing masks. They love their masks. They love their masks. Speaking of masks, California, did you guys hear about this out of California? Glenn Close would love this. Doesn't Glenn Close have like a relative that's running for the legislature or in the legislature? I thought I heard some sort of connection about that. You know, another cheap California import trying to turn Montana into the train wreck that is California. But speaking of California, so California is they're now going to, you know, push forward on a ban on face masks. Now, on its face, you might think, see what we did there. On its face, you would think this face mask ban, oh, well, that's smart. They're finally doing some common sense things in California. Now, you would think that, oh, they're gonna stop criminals from being able to cover their faces and go in and loot stores or go in and, you know, beat up innocent people on, you know, things like subways. No, they're not doing that. No. The looters can still wear masks. The rioters can still wear masks. The people attacking law enforcement can still wear masks. The people beating up grandmothers in the streets can still wear masks. No, it's a very Californicated type of face mask ban that you've got going on here.
Interestingly, the ban would apply to law enforcement officers, but not to protesters or even criminals. The proposed law, a response to the federal crackdown on anti-ICE protests in Los Angeles. The so-called No Secret Police Act would also require cops to display identifying information on their uniforms. SWAT officers and cops wearing riot gear would be exempt from the legislation. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Yeah, there you go. Bunch of left-wing nut jobs in California. Let's see. We got a caller on the phone lines. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's going on?
Oh, geez, a lot of it. Good morning, Montana Talks family. I just want to say Glenn Close. I've never seen an illegal Mexican in any of her movies. You know, she's made millions and millions off of these movies, and they're always European themes or something else, you know, and I guess maybe the only Mexicans or Venezuelans that she encounters are the ones that carry her luggage from the plane to her limousine, and she's waiting to be escorted someplace, you know, to one of these hot parties. But I just want to say, too, I sent you a piece, and, you know, these people that are protesting the No King rallies, let's face it, they're the same ones that anointed Kamala Harris their candidate without a single vote, and they also wanted to keep President Trump off of the state ballot. So there you go right there.
That's right. No, that was a great meme. I shared that yesterday. And who was it? It was like a state legislator or somebody. They said, well, Nancy is spot on. Yeah, I shared that meme that you mentioned. No, Nancy, great to hear from you. All right, we got to get to the Farm and Ranch Report back after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Bureau of Business Economic Research at the University of Montana was established in 1948, and for much of its history, it has compiled and reported forecasts for the major regions of the state. A fundamental building block for those forecasts has been the designation and measurement of activity in a small subset of the economy referred to as base industries. Base industries can loosely be defined as industries which sell and do business with the export sector, which refers to markets and customers outside the county. It's been a useful way to think about economic outlooks, except for one thing. This is a new force driving growth, especially in the regions adjacent to national parks, and that is population in migration. People are moving to places like the Flathead because they want to be there, not necessarily because economic growth is pulling them in. With remote work and investment nest eggs, they're bringing their jobs and incomes with them. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's skepticism among budget watchdogs about the big, beautiful bill slicing into the federal deficit. The Committee for a Responsible Financial Budget believes the House plan adds more than $5 trillion to the debt over the next decade. The debt is much more significant than years ago. Investors are demanding that the government pay a higher premium to keep borrowing as the total debt has crossed $36.1 trillion. The White House Council of Economic Advisors argues that all of its policies will unleash rapid growth. The council also says the economy would expand over the next 4 4 years at an annual average rate of about 3.2% instead of the Congressional Budget Office's expected 1.9%, and as many as 7.4 million jobs would be created or saved. White House Budget Director Russ Vogt told reporters the idea that the bill is, quote, in any way harmful to the debt and deficits is fundamentally untrue. Most outside economists expect additional debt would keep interest rates higher and slow overall economic growth as the cost of borrowing for homes, cars, and businesses would increase. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordlund. Last week, the University of Idaho released the finalized results of its decade-long study looking into the impacts of livestock grazing on greater sage-grouse populations. The study concluded that cattle grazing does not negatively impact greater sage-grouse and can only benefit the species through building robust habitat, increasing forage, and reducing invasive grasses that lead to catastrophic wildfires. Cameron Mulroney is Executive Vice President of the Idaho Cattlemen's Association.
University of Idaho has been working on this for quite some time, over 10 years, and then, of course, the process to get peer-reviewed, et cetera. But scientific data to back up what cattlemen have known for generations, that cattle and sage-grouse can continue to work and live together. You know, the cattlemen have been for years seeing anecdotally their best sage-grouse leks were also where they were grazing cattle. And of course, there's adversaries out there that would prefer not to see cattle on public lands, and we're trying to use that against us. The greater sage-grouse and this research and the complexity and the scope and size of it is something that we just really needed to show that what we already knew to be true, cattle and sage-grouse can coexist. And properly grazed pastures are beneficial to sage-grouse.
The finalized study reiterates the preliminary data that supports the benefits of grazing, including increasing the biomass and diversity of insect species for food, reducing the risk of wildfire that can kill sage-grouse and destroy habitat, and reducing the volume of cheatgrass and other invasive grasses that degrade the sagebrush biome. Read more on the study at westernagnetwork.com.
Cattle producers, take advantage of this red-hot cattle market and consign your calves and yearlings in Superior Livestock Auctions Week in the Rockies sale. Now, this year's sale runs July 7th through the 11th in Steamboat Springs, Colorado at the Steamboat Grand. However, the consignment deadline is fast approaching. It's Friday, June 20th. So contact your Superior rep today. You can also call toll-free 800-422-2117 or visit SuperiorLivestock.com.
Growers across the region have successfully planted another Molson Coors barley crop, and before too long, combines will be rolling through the Golden Rag field. Hi, this is Jackson Osh from Sweetgrass, Montana. Bill Coors coined the phrase, barley is to beer as grapes are to wine. That's why Molson Coors uses Moravian barley, a variety bred to be one of the highest quality and best yielding varieties available. There's a little bit of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming barley in every Coors Banquet and Coors Light. We are proud to raise barley for Molson Coors, a company known for always supporting farmers in rural America.
AgriDime, a Texas-based cattle marketing company, has been ordered to pay nearly $103 million in restitution after being found by the CFTC and the SEC to have operated a Ponzi scheme involving cattle contracts that falsely promised investors returns of 15 to 32%. The U.S. District Court for Northern Texas issued a permanent ban against AgriDime from commodity trading and entered default judgments against its co-founders, Joshua Link and Jed Wood, for personal gains totaling over $2.2 million. Although AgriDime claimed to have assets and cattle and meat inventory exceeding $140 million, audits found much less, just 9,900 head of cattle, many not owned by the company, and only $20 million in meat. Over 2,100 investors across 15 states were affected. The company had less than $1.5 million in cash when regulators intervened in late 2023. A potential $15.7 million sale of AgriDime's assets to a North Dakota group recently fell through, prompting the court-appointed receiver to move toward liquidating remaining assets. Read more about AgriDime's Ponzi scheme at westernagnetwork.com. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let me quickly throw the headset back on there. Still doing show prep. The 6 o'clock hour, I kind of got to keep doing show prep because there's no way you can fully be ready for all the great phone calls we get and all the content we got to try to wrap our arms around here for a four-hour show, especially given the reach we've got all across the great state of Montana. And then we get all these great folks that jump in listen in on the app from all over the country as well, especially on Tuesdays, because our friend the Joker from X joins us later in the morning. So some folks will jump in a little early, too, from, you know, North Carolina and Arizona. Actually, we got a ton of listeners down in Arizona. Well, probably not right now. They're all back from Arizona. Any of the Montanans that went to Arizona, they're now back in Montana. They got the heck out of Dodge out of Arizona. So maybe they're still listening on the Montana Talks app, even though they're back home in Montana. But, yeah, they're probably not still down in Arizona. All right, here we go. Let's see. I did see a post on X by Kat in eastern Montana. Yes, she must have seen it live yesterday afternoon. Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy was on Fox News with Kayleigh McEnany talking about Israel and Iran. And about 12 hours ago, Senator Sheehy posted this on X. The Obama and the Biden administrations spent years appeasing Iran while they chant death to America. President Trump has played this perfectly, and now Iran wants a deal. Keep it up. So, quick summary. So, President Trump was up in Canada at the G7 summit with these other world leaders, and he left a day early to get back to Washington, D.C., because basically, you see the news out of Tehran. I think it was yesterday, President Trump also urged women, children, and citizens in Tehran to flee the city. You know, of course, Israel's been wiping out all of the top terrorist leaders of the terrorist regime in charge of Iran, which are not supported by the people in Iran, by the way. And Israel has been taking down some of their fighter jets. Israel has been destroying their nuclear infrastructure. Apparently, one of the big ones they still got to take out is an underground facility, so they need some sort of big bunker buster to go after that one. And President Trump told Iran, he said, look, I gave you 60 days to make a deal. And they basically flipped off Donald Trump and said, nope. And they kept their death to America crap. And now they're getting pummeled by Israel. Israel has operatives on the ground taking them out with drones. Israelis on the ground and their supporters on the ground in Tehran taking out these top terrorist targets. They know who these people are and where they are and can take them out. And the terrorists in Tehran can't do jack squat about it right now. But President Trump has been very clear. I was looking at Rapid Response 47 here earlier this morning on X. And they shared over a dozen different sound bites from President Trump over the last 3 years in particular. He has been very consistent. The terrorists in Iran must never get their hands. Here we go. So, yeah, I mentioned that Senator Tim Sheehy was on Fox News yesterday with Kayleigh McEnany talking about Israel and Iran. By the way, I've got the full audio of that entire conversation, so I might grab another soundbite or two later this morning. But let's get to this one. Here you go. Here's a quick soundbite from his chat with Kayleigh McEnany.
We've been talking to Iran for 45 years, Kayleigh, and the reality is they've been killing Americans and killing Israelis for decades. Their national foreign policy is death to America, death to Israel. So every time we try to be reasonable with them, I mean, look, we had the Biden and the Obama administrations that spent 12 years giving them everything they wanted, loosening up sanctions, allowing billions of dollars to flow into their economy through oil sales, and trying to treat them with kid gloves and hoping by being nice they would change their behavior. What we've seen, obviously, is they're trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth yet again. That hasn't worked. President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu's behavior has worked. Now, guess what? After we've bombed the hell out of them, now Iran wants to come to the table and make a deal. That's how you deal with a murderous, duplicitous regime, and it's working. So let's keep it up.
All right. And more to follow with that Senator Sheehy interview here later this morning. Jesse Waters, he had a good summary of everything Israel has been doing to just straight up pummel the terrorists in Tehran. I think, let's see, maybe this is the part where he gives the summary. Let me see.
We've heard any signals or seen any messages from intermediaries that Iran wishes to de-escalate the conflict.
Yeah.
What have you heard from the Iranians?
They'd like to talk, but they should have done that before. I had 60 days, and they had 60 days, and on the 61st day, I said, we don't have a deal. they have to make a deal. And it's painful for both parties, but I'd say Iran is not winning this war. And they should talk, and they should talk immediately before it's too late.
Democrats call Trump the taco president, a.k.a. Trump always chickens out. But he gave the Iranians a deadline for a deal, and they missed the deadline. So he let Netanyahu go at him. Now Iran's begging for mercy.
All right, I think this is the clip here where he outlines everything that Israel's done to pummel the terrorists, because this was as President Trump tells people to evacuate Iran.
Trump just posted on Truth Social, everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran. This country elected President Trump because they trust him as commander-in-chief more than they trusted Joe Biden, and much more than they would have trusted Kamala Harris. One of the reasons he won the Republican primary in 16 was because he called the Iraq war dumb. But Trump has also shown his willingness to take strong and decisive action to eliminate foreign threats. So far, the risks to American soldiers have been minimal, and we hope it stays that way. Because if we can achieve a peaceful solution to the Iranian issue, the rest of the president's Mideast agenda falls into place. The Abraham Accords, low energy prices, free shipping lanes, and an AI market that relies on U.S. tech. We can then finally pivot to Asia and back here to the homeland to confront more immediate challenges.
All right. Well said there by Jesse Waters. Quick break. Phone lines are open for you. 294-0970.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
One thing I got to listen to what Tom Homan had to say yesterday. I forget who he did an interview with, but the DailyCaller.com has a story. Daily Caller always has great coverage. I've got several Daily Caller stories in front of me right now. In fact, let me just run through some headlines here. Oh, this is a funny one. I shared this one with John Jackson on X, and because I was like, John, hey, you got to watch this video before you come on the show here later this morning. Pro-Palestine liberals try marching to Gaza, run into trouble when Egyptians beat the hell out of them. This video is hilarious. They didn't get beaten badly. It was like the Arabs pulled out they pulled off their sandals and started smacking these European liberals with their sandals. So, before I list through a bunch of headlines, let's talk about this story. Did you guys see the video out of Los Angeles with the woke white liberals, the guy with the man bun, and they were blocking the road. They were blocking the traffic. And there was this young, beautiful black mom who was trying to get to work. And these woke white liberals and this wimpy liberal dude with his man bun is getting in her face, and she's like, hey, I'm trying to go to work. And these woke white liberals laugh at her. She says, I'm trying to go to work to feed my kids. And they laugh at her. If you need me to play the audio for you, if you don't believe what I'm saying, I can pull the audio up. I had it ready to roll here yesterday as well. They laugh in her face. Ha, 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 work. Who has to go to work? We do. The rest of us have to. To pay for your woke white liberal ass to sit on your couch while we pay for everything for you. The rest of us have to go to work to pay for all these illegal aliens that you're blocking the streets and rioting in the streets on behalf of. He laughs in her face. Man, I tell you what. This is hostage taking in the streets of America. These woke white liberals, I think Greg Gutfeld made this point here. They are holding Americans hostage on our own streets. When they block the road and don't allow you to move, they are holding you hostage. They should get their asses kicked. Pardon my French, but that's exactly what should happen to these woke white liberals. You are blocking the road. People can't go pick up their kids from daycare. They can't go to work so they can support their families. And you are standing there blocking their roads. And then you've got you know, these woke city leaders and these Democrats in California that don't send in law enforcement to go open up the roadways for these people. Those woke white liberals should get their butts kicked. Well, these woke white liberals from Europe tried to do this. They went down to Egypt and they blocked a checkpoint. They held a sit-in at a checkpoint. Here you go. Egyptian authorities, this is from the dailycaller.com. Egyptian authorities took dozens of anti-Israel activists into custody this past Thursday after thwarting a planned march to Gaza before deporting them. As many as 200 activists were detained in Cairo by Egyptian immigration authorities, who reportedly confiscated passports of the Europeans who sought to carry out a global march to Gaza. Other activists who were allowed to remain in the country attempted to march to Gaza and clashed with local Egyptians who threw water bottles and used clubs while the anti-Israel activists held a sit-in at a checkpoint. So these woke white liberals go down to an Arab-dominated country like Egypt because they think they're standing up for Arab Muslims in the Gaza Strip. And then they get whacked on the head by a bunch of Arab Muslims who are saying, "What are you idiots doing blocking our checkpoint?" I mean, it's just these woke white liberals are just, man, it's just, you just got to laugh when you see this story and you just see the nonsense. And back to Europe. They got the Greta Thunberg treatment. Greta Thunberg, she didn't get smacked by anybody. The Israelis picked her up when she violated, you know, a checkpoint and illegally crossed over a checkpoint. They gave her a sandwich and some nice beverages because apparently even though she was supposedly delivering aid to Gaza, she didn't even have enough food for herself. So how was she going to deliver food for all these other people? But yeah, there's that story is at thedailycaller.com. Couple other headlines here. Trump targets blue cities with deportation strategy. Greg Jarrett provides one long-established reason judges lack legal authority to block Trump nationwide. Newt Gingrich breaks down why every Iran deal is doomed unless one thing happens. And then the story that I need to talk about. Actually, let's roll right into that one here. Tom Homan clarifies Trump deportation strategy after MAGA backlash. Border czar Tom Homan said on Fox News Monday that Immigration and Customs Enforcement will not back down from worksite enforcement. The Trump administration apparently had halted immigration arrests at farms, restaurants, and hotels after Trump raised concerns about economic fallout. Despite a recent surge in enforcement driven by Stephen Miller and his push for 3,000 daily arrests. During an appearance on the Ingram Angle, Homan said that operations targeting criminal enterprises at U.S. workplaces remain a cornerstone of ICE's mission under President Trump. So basically what Trump was saying is he wants to figure out a way to allow for more of, you know, farm workers, people that are working at hotels and things like that to be able to work in this country legally. And as you guys know, we already have a legal process in order to do that. Although, if you recall from our border security tour that we did last summer all across Montana, one of our guests made a really good point. If you were a farm worker in Georgia, or if you were a farmer in Georgia, and you wanted to legally bring in farm workers with a visa, et cetera, with a work visa to work for your farm, the government made that process such a freaking hassle that it was, you almost couldn't even do it. Meanwhile, if there was another farm down the road that was hiring illegal aliens and bringing illegal aliens in, the Biden regime wasn't doing anything to punish them. In fact, you could argue that the Biden regime was undermining legal work visas for farmers and hotel workers and others, while at the same time promoting the people who hired these people illegally. So what we need to do is just follow the legal process for farm workers, hotel workers, et cetera. But anyway, Tom Holman did clarify on Laura Ingraham's program last night exactly how this will be enforced.
Look, like everything else, presidents prioritize the public safety threats and national security threats. When it comes to work sites, we prioritize those operations too. Many places we target the work site enforcement operations, it has to do with forced labor trafficking, sex trafficking, and criminal investigations where they're funding, they're not paying taxes, it's tax evasion, or they're funding cartel activity. So we prioritize worksite investigation too. Worksite investigations are going nowhere. We'll prioritize them like we do everything else. But worksite enforcement operations, it's a tenet of what we're doing. It's important what we're doing. We'll continue those.
All right, there you go. That was from the Ingraham angle last night. Back into the phone lines we go. Tim in Billings. Tim, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. So I recently saw a great infographic little thing that it perfectly broke down why the left is so adamantly opposed to these deportations of illegal immigrants. And it said that it's like 720,000, every 720,000 illegal aliens that get deported from these sanctuary states is another congressional seat and electoral college vote lost to a red state. So just imagine that. Why are they so fluent? Because it's going to cut off their internet highway, their cyber highway to power and controlling these elections.
That's right.
In the future. So it's not that they want to have people who to pick their fruits for less than minimum wage, because minimum wage isn't a livable wage unless you're here illegally picking fruit. And it's not here to they're not fighting it because they need somebody to cook this breakfast or be their nanny or be their gardener or be their pool boy or whatever. All this stuff.
They want voters. Yeah, that's what I think. It's a little bit about both. I mean, I think these Democrats have been very clear that they want illegal aliens to come wipe their you know what. They want their slave wage labor. It's been a tenet of the Democrat Party for a long time now. But I think to your point, though, yeah, the bigger thing, what they really want is power. And by the way, if they flood a bunch of illegal aliens into blue states and then blue states pick up congressional seats, that means Montana could lose a congressional seat. Montana would lose political power, which they would love that as well, too.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Right now, as we speak, the Israelis own the skies of Iran, which gives the world a window of opportunity. Now, I don't want to be flippant about this or nonchalant. You know, there's always a risk involved in military action, but there's also sometimes a risk of military inaction, especially at the right time. And this regime, unfortunately, was able to build up a lot of ballistic missile power and advance their nuclear program under Joe Biden. And they've been fomenting terror in the entire region. There's not one country in the region that wants the Iranians to have nuclear weapons.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few scattered showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures ranging from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies expected with low temperatures in the mid-50s. Then we'll see partly to mostly sunny skies Wednesday as high temperatures rebound to the lower to middle 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, we got this great guy who's called into the show, Kevin Williams in Billings. He's called in from time to time, always has something good to say, but he's got his own podcast, and he's blind. And I love it. His tagline is, "Even a blind man can see what's going on." Hey, you got to go to MontanaTalks.com. In his latest episode, this Billings-based podcaster, Kevin Williams, on the Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone, just interviewed Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. Check it out. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Where do we go next? What do we talk about next? Ooh, I get so busy during the breaks trying to read up on the news. I better go check our app messages on the Montana Talks app. Let's see. Oh, I see a message from Scott. Here, speaking of no kings, here is the king of Minnesota. I got to pull up the file. I can't see the image here for a second. Let me see what he sent us here. Let's see. Is that Scott in Bozeman or Scott in Billings, by the way? Okay, come on, computer. Pull it up here. Take your sweet little time, computer. My goodness. Right on, John. Talking about Glenn Close. Yeah. If you guys missed it earlier in the hour, I was talking about how a Hollywood celebrity, there was a news story about a Hollywood celebrity who was at the left-wing protests in Bozeman. It's like, oh, okay, well, hey, if a Hollywood celebrity supports it, I guess we all got to jump on board. Okay, there's the photo. Speaking of no kings, here is the king of Minnesota. And it's a photo of Tim Walz. With that dazed and confused look on his face, I think it's a screenshot of when he was debating J.D. Vance, President Trump's running mate at the time. That's hilarious. All right. Oh, Evan and Belt sent us one. Yeah, I left that message unread so that I would remember to see it today. Evan and Belt messaged us yesterday. Again, it came in during the 9 o'clock hour, but we had so many phone calls, I missed it until after the show. He says, on Flag Day and the Army's 250th birthday, I spent the day grilling burgers and hot dogs for our local VFW post and bantering with some of our Army vets. It was a blast, all while enjoying the great sport of rodeo. A far cry from these morons doing some futile No King's Day, all to just to try to tear down our country. Thanks to all who supported us at the Belt Rodeo. It was our best year ever, and we are looking forward to using the monies in supporting our great little community. Evan, that great message. Yeah, I wish I would have seen that shortly after it came in yesterday during our 9 o'clock hour of the show. That's a great message there. Hey, if you heard the news update earlier, Dennis Bragg in the Montana State News Network update reported that the Going to the Sun Road, Logan Pass, that's what I've called it by both names, is now officially open. And hey, this week, you know, as part of our Visit Montana radio giveaway tourism package, we're actually highlighting Glacier Country. And, you know, if you guys don't know, Glacier Country is about more than just Glacier National Park and about more than just the incredible, my favorite drive in the entire country, of course, the Going to the Sun Road. Glacier Country covers a whole chunk of terrain. I mean, you get up to Eureka in Lincoln County. They've got one of the most spirited summer fairs in Montana, complete with timber sports, pie-eating competitions, livestock shows, live music. And then, you know, you head just a little further down the road, down to Lake Coconusa, and they've got an incredible marina there with an outdoor amphitheater. They've brought some great concerts to the area. And you're just south of the Canadian border. Then you've got, of course, Libby, Montana. You've got massive cedar sculptures intricately carved from single logs by local artists using chainsaws. If you've never been up for Logger Days, that's an incredible event.
So much to see in Glacier Country. But here's what you get the chance to win with this week's giveaway. It's a Glacier Country giveaway package, one night stay at the Red Lion Hotel in Polson. So if you've never been to Flathead Lake, you better go register for this giveaway here. Plus, you've got a gift certificate to the East Shore Smokehouse and a scenic flight tour with Blue Goose Aviation. Did you hear that one, Goose and Anaconda? You can do a scenic flight tour with Blue Goose Aviation. Visit mt.com/giveaway. Again, you can register for this week's opportunity to win. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. We've got the phone lines open for the 7 o'clock hour for you, 406-294-0970, back after the Fox News update.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana was established in 1948, and for much of its history, it has compiled and reported forecasts for the major regions of the state. A fundamental building block for those forecasts has been the designation and measurement of activity in a small subset of the economy referred to as base industries. Base industries can loosely be defined as industries which sell and do business with the export sector, which refers to markets and customers outside the county. It's been a useful way to think about economic outlooks, except for one thing. It misses a new force driving growth, especially in the regions adjacent to national parks, and that is population in migration. People are moving to places like the Flathead because they want to be there, not necessarily because economic growth is pulling them in. With remote work and investment nest eggs, they're bringing their jobs and incomes with them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.